This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
We now switch gears and talk a little football with our man Tom Luganville. Yes, we are.
Is that what we're going to do?
That's exactly what we're going to do.
We're going to talk football.
We are. Lugs, right. What's going on?
Just watching Wes giggling for no reason. He's just sitting there in the middle square. No. Right there, just laughing, smirking, and I have no idea why.
Yeah, right, sure.
Yeah, you do.
Tom Luganville, little Packer and Durham full disclosure here. Tom Luganville was supposed to be with us for show 400 because he's been such an integral part of the Packer and Durham success, not only on television but on radio. And, well, quite frankly, got bumped from Mike Krzyzewski. So there you go, friends. He's back on show 407, and we're delighted to welcome him in here, Pack.
408.
Luke, how's your summer?
408.
408. I'm sorry. Is this 408? I thought 407.
Yeah, that's all right. You'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. Math.
All right. Anyway,
math is difficult.
Math's never been great for me, Luke. So there
Good
you
thing
go.
You didn't go to Tech.
Couldn't get
That's
in.
That's it. You're right. Good thing I didn't go to Georgia Tech. I'll make some notes here. Luke, how you been? What's going on? I got to correct my math.
Oh, I'm good, guys. I'm on daddy duty a lot. My son started his 4-day-a-week football mornings for the local high school here. I taught my daughter how to iron clothes the other day, so a little summer workshop happening in my laundry room. And my wife's at the lake on a girls' trip without me. That pretty much sums it up.
You know, it's a shame you weren't part of the Turks and Caicos rescue team about 2 weeks ago because I could have really used you.
This is a ship-to-shore operator. We have a flailing middle-aged man with a plastic rubber ducky ring around his waist in 3 feet of water. Can we please get someone out here to rescue him?
We laugh now. We laugh now, but we didn't 2 weeks ago, I can assure you. Oh, Lord, help us all.
Do you envision it being like the turtle on its back with its feet in the air and somebody helping it get back upright?
No. I envision two floaties on the arms, the yellow rubber ducky one around the waist, and him jumping off of the ocean floor, flailing, not realizing he's in 3 feet of water. Between two boats of which he could have walked over to.
Oh, I wish.
That's what I envisioned.
I wish. You know, my problem with the whole deal was, number one, getting on the wrong boat was an issue. But number two, the biggest problem I had, Tom, is as soon as I jumped in the water with that stupid snorkel mask on and the fins and all that nonsense, I looked down.
Steve.
I looked straight down in the water, and I realized, oh, my God, it's 40 to 50 feet. And I saw a big fish and beautiful coral, and I knew instantly I'm in trouble. I'm in deep, deep trouble, and I was.
Did you have a life jacket on?
No, they gave us a it wasn't floaties, but there's like 150 people out there snorkeling, but they put on like a half donut on your back. And again, the problem is I didn't want to be in the water ever. And so that thing kept you afloat, but the waves were so bad. And the current, I was going nowhere fast, and I had 20 yards to get to my boat, which I got on the wrong boat, and then I was in no man's land.
Can you just envision this story on Dateline on ID of the demise of Mark Packer?
And by the way, how many...
Hansen hosting the disappearance of a man in 4 feet of water next on Dateline.
And how often would you have seen the same guy that for the last 25 years on radio said, the second your big toe hits the water, you're the visiting team.
It's water.
That guy, he's out of here.
Dude, I'm going to just tell you right now, your production crew completely threw you under the bus. Oh. They could not reach me fast enough to have me come on after this.
Okay, let's make the awkward transition of Packer almost drowning in the Turks and Caicos to the expansion of the college football playoff, Lukes. You know, here we are last week. We're sitting here, and all of a sudden, boom, here comes this proposal. They're going to meet in Chicago tomorrow and Friday. That's the next step in this process that's apparently been under CIA protection for the last 2 years, and rightly so.
Yeah.
My initial reaction was, I understand 12, because I think if you were going to go to 6 or 8, you might as well go ahead and go to 12, take all the gray area out of it, if you will. And if it expands the season to 16, 17 games, hey, you at least know what you're getting at, right? You know what the mission's going to be if you've got to play that many games. Tell me the pros and cons from your chair.
Well, the pros are that it's a pure money grab. I mean, just from a television contract standpoint alone, what is it, $470 million a year to carry that contract? And so we would be looking north of, what, $1 billion? So financially, certainly everybody benefits. Yes, now you have inclusion for the group of five. Now you could be a highly ranked team and lose in your conference championship game and still be included in the college football playoff, which, by the way, I started really looking at this. I want to be the fifth seed. I want to yeah. be like number ranked two or three, lose in my conference championship game, all right? Drop to five, host a home game, and play the 12th seed. That's what I want. That's where I would want to be. But for me, I think we're swapping excellence for access and inclusion. We're trying to make everybody feel good. If we remove the financial portion of this, which I know is big, if we just looked at it, think back, guys. I mean, how many meaningful quality games have we had with four teams? Like really, really good games. I mean, Georgia, Oklahoma, right. Alabama, Ohio State. All right, how many Cinderellas? How many teams that got hot, all right, just blazed through this thing, made it, and then worked through the semis and won it? Basically won Ohio State in 2014. And, you know, for my money, if you're going to talk expansion, I think it starts at 6, not 12. I'm not a big fan of this expansion. I think we're diluting the pool. I know we're giving access to more people. But you could also be asking for far more blowouts, far more non-competitive games. And I do think it's odd that you could earn a bye, all right, but still not have the privilege of playing a home game. I mean, that's a bit strange to me as well.
I would tell you, though, the last three teams that have won the national championship blazed through this thing. I think Clemson, LSU, and Bama, quite frankly, didn't have an issue.
But they didn't have to get hot to do it. What I'm saying is if you remember that 2014 Ohio State team, they got
lost
beat
to Virginia
up by
Tech.
Virginia Tech.
Right.
They were a poor football team, and then they got hot and peaked at the right time and blazed through it. Aside from them, that really hasn't happened to this point. And so, and listen, I think that, you know, we talk about what does this happen? What happens now to the bowl structure? I think it becomes even more just irrelevant. What happens to the Rose Bowl? Do they finally have to come off of their Jan 1 mandate that they're not willing to come off of? And do we really? I look at the Georgia Cincinnati game last year. Georgia's got all these opt-outs, could not have played a worse football game than they possibly played, and they're lining up against one of the hottest teams in college football, and they still beat them. They still beat them. And by the way, Pac, you'll love this. I think we can all credit Nick Saban for the four-team playoff because everything was based on how do we beat Alabama. Well, okay, you get the four-team playoff. Now you've introduced Clemson, okay? So now how do you continue to destroy Alabama? And now how do we beat Clemson and Ohio State? Well, okay, well, so now we're going to introduce 12 teams. Does anybody actually think that 90% of those games aren't going to still be won by three or four teams in college football every year?
Right, right.
Well, they might, Tom. Yeah,
Listen,
Wait a minute. That may still be true because those programs are so good. It doesn't mean, though, that a Georgia, an Oklahoma, or fill in the blank, somebody gets hot, North Carolina. I mean, it opens up the door for others to participate. We still may get the same combination at the end of the day of the Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State combination and throw somebody else in there. Oklahoma eventually is going to knock the door down. I mean, goodness gracious, they've been there enough, even though they haven't won a playoff game. But, I got to tell you, I was surprised it went from 4-12. Now, granted, this is a starting point. This is not etched in stone. We'll get more tomorrow and Friday and moving forward. But the more I read about the proposal, the more I like it. And I didn't think that I would have. My initial reaction was 12. Where'd 12 come from? I can understand 4-8, 4-6, 4-8. Let's walk before we run. When I heard 12 originally, I was like, wow, I don't know about that. But the more I read it and the way this thing's lined out, I'd still love to see round two of the playoffs, if you will, on home sites. I would love to see the teams 1, 2, 3, 4 who have an open date, the bye week, why 5-12 play. The winners of 5-12 should have to go play at 1-4. As a fan, I would love to see that. But I get business, and you want to incorporate your partner, which has been the bowl business, and that's how that's going to work. I get all that. But the more I read it, Tom, the more I like it. I really do. And I didn't think 12 would have ever come into play this early, but I do like what I've read so far to date at the starting point.
And there's a lot that still has to happen. I mean, you would be talking about restructuring major, major contracts that are involved in this. You have bowl structure issues. You have all the what I would call secondary bowls now, when somebody generally gets the number two and number three from a Power Five conference. Now, all of a sudden, those two teams are gone. All right, then what happens to that bowl game and those bowls? So some bowls would just cease to exist altogether. But just listening to you, Pack, it sounds like you were kind of in favor of just more inclusion, regardless of what the outcome. Now, the one thing I would say is people are saying, well, we got to dial back the regular season. It's going to be too much. Well, that's not happening with championship games because of the financial impact. But I could see further discussion about going back to 11 regular season games. And eliminating that 12th regular season game, going back to what we used to have, that's something I could see as a viable option.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that's in play because schools are going to want the revenue from the extra home game that the 12th game created. Sure. And see, now we're walking that weird street where, and you said it, Luke, the money, if we get to $1 billion, which John Wildhack was with us yesterday, I thought was very candid about what college sports and live college sports means to the television industry at this point.
Right.
So I think we've got a chance to hit the number financially, even out of the pandemic. Here's the part I want to get to you with, though. You know this game inside out from the development standpoint. Who's to say that given the tricky roster management and the recruiting things we talked about and the free years – I mean, you were the first one to identify with us a year ago that the rising junior a year ago, who's now the rising senior, is going to be the sacrificial lamb in this recruiting system. What's going to change by the time we get to 23? Are we going to be back to level playing fields with rosters? Are we going to be back there with scholarships? I mean, we crank this thing up fall of 23, play it in January 24. We're still going to have the three Titans that we know of and then hope that there are a couple would-be candidates to fill out the front end, I guess.
Yeah, you know, listen, I think over the next few years we're going to see how getting back to 85 scholarships and the inflated rosters right now and massaging the roster and how you fix all of that to get back down to your number. We'll see how that plays out. And I might be reading between the lines here with you, Wes, but it sounds – are you asking me – you know, if we go to this format, do we create more parity amongst teams? Do we now create more of a competitive level playing field because teams have more to recruit to, stating that, all right, we now have a shot at the college football playoff? Is that what you're asking me?
Correct. Yeah, okay, exactly. Are we going to be able to develop parity? Okay.
I say this because I think it's no different than NIL. You can sit there and talk. All the best players are going to go to the best teams. Not all college teams are created equal. Not all resources are equal. They never have been. They never will be. All right. There are resources and tools at the disposal of some programs that other programs will never have. Now, you know, as scholarships diminish a little bit and we start to see where scholarships are allotted, like I referred to you guys a year ago, and you know, does the transfer portal get now more room? All right. Does the high school athlete still get attended to in recruiting the way that they always have? Maybe you start to see more guys coming out of the bigger programs because they're not playing, and then they go down into a program that could be ranked 10th or 11th or 12th and have a shot at the college football playoff every year. But at the high school level, the recruitment of the high school player, I don't think you're going to see an influence of a 12-team playoff impact those teams more, you know, any significantly different than they do now.
By the way, real quickly, since neither Wes and I are up to speed on recruiting, the fact that the dead period's over, that is your bread and butter. Yeah. Have you noticed an immediate spike in terms of activity, the fact that kids now can go check out campuses face-to-face with coaches and everything else?
Yeah, it's the wild, wild west right now. Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you have so many kids on campus, either on official visit capacities, unofficial visit capacity, maybe most importantly, attending camps so they can be evaluated, maybe to secure what they think is going to be a scholarship offer that was contingent upon the player coming to camp and participating in camp. So there is a lot of information being gathered, more so in this month, between player to coach and coach to player at every school in America than we've seen over the last 15 months, obviously, because of the pandemic. So really, really busy time. And the thing that's tough for both the kids and the kids can't be everywhere at once and the schools can't be everywhere at once. And they have a very small window, even though the NCAA has elaborated and allowed for more evaluation days in their calendar than they normally do. It's going to be hard to get all the kids on campus that you want to get on campus in a short period of time.
Do you still believe that the rising senior is the one in the most perilous position, given the kind of volatility we've seen with all this stuff?
But potentially, yes, because I think the last cycle with that player limited their ability to get on campus, to take unofficial visits, to be face-to-face. Remember, during their what was going into their junior year, which would have been this class right now, 2022, going into their junior year, no coaches were on campus in the spring. They couldn't go off campus in the spring. So they spent an entire spring and summer really with no way of being able to have contact and be actively recruited. And then many of those prospects, depending on the state you were in, didn't get a chance to play high school football last fall. So now that has an impact. So you're playing catch up. So maybe what you don't know, if I'm looking at this from the school's perspective, if what I don't know at the high school level and I'm not able to gather the information I would have liked to have gathered under normal circumstances, maybe the safer route is to go cast my line into the transfer portal lake and see if that maybe gives me better options. And again, what does that mean? That means that we're going to have to afford scholarships to there where the scholarship's not going to be taken away from the high school level or some other area. So there's a lot of tentacles to this, and I think it's going to be a considerable amount of time before it irons itself out. And are there going to be unintended consequences? Absolutely. Are there going to be obvious consequences? Absolutely. I think the coaches and the players already know that.
All right. You're the man as always. Great stuff from Tom Luganbill. We look forward to the ACC kickoff in Charlotte. Look forward to seeing you face to face.
Look forward to seeing you too, in person. Won't that be dandy?
Good.
That will be a unique experience given where we've been for the last 15 months, I can assure you. Guaranteed.
You better be wearing floaties, Pack. I want
Packies
to wear floaties for that entire weekend.
No, I got news for you. When I've got size 15s on ground, I'm good to go. It's just that when we get out there in that ocean, that is a problem. That is a problem.
Did you have like goggles and like white zinc oxide on your nose too? I mean, did you look the whole part?
Oh, I looked the part. I didn't have the zinc oxide, but I had the goggles and the flippers, and that was the last thing I needed. Both of those. I wish I'd just left them on the floor of the ocean.
Where are those? Hey, Luke's, two things. One, where are the pictures of Packer in the goggles and the fins, right? I mean, what would we pay to have Packer picture in the goggles and the fins with the snorkel? That'd be big money on the black market. Two,
Was Mrs. Pack there to take pictures and get photographic evidence of this debacle?
No, she was in the water with me.
Okay.
There was no one there to
everybody calm you down.
No, she was trying to get to the boat too, but she, you know, she sailed the world. She, you know, she's completely comfortable in the ocean. My girls were swimming. They're looking at all kinds of coral, but the other 150 people.
So they bailed on you?
No, they realized dad's in trouble is what they realized. Uh-oh, where's dad? Yeah. Oops, somebody needs to help him. And they were right.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right, let's go to the smart people. They're up in Bristol, Connecticut. Voice of Victory joins us this morning. That would be Josh Macri. Victory, what's happening?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
We're well. Excellent show. You and Commander Cody, phenomenal job. Well done.
It's completely, this one's on Cody. Cody did a great job today. I've just been along for the ride.
Same here.
And to, to moderate fill in the blank, obviously. But,
of course.
You know,
sure. Fill in the blank.
Yeah, light lifting. Short segment here because we have Stan Cotton coming up with our Packer and Durham two-a-days profile of Wake Forest here at the bottom of the hour. So let's see if we can get through a couple of these. Fill in the blank. The most exciting play so far in the NCAA baseball tournament from an ACC team has been blank.
Torres shot in the ninth. NC State stuns Arkansas and stuns college baseball. That right there on the screen was the shot. That, I mean, Kevin Copps is pitching. Number one team goes down. Yeah, I know Virginia, the Grand Slam. Virginia's had some moments too, but NC State's had the biggest story in the College World Series when they eliminated Arkansas. They did something that not a single team in the SEC was able to do this year, and that's beat Arkansas in a series. State did it. That's the story.
I agree with that. If I had to choose a backup, believe it or not, it would not be Kyle Teal's Grand Slam. It'd be Newell's Rob of the home run. Because if Newell doesn't take that home run away, I'm not sure. Well, you may get to the Teal GS, but golly, it just felt like when he pulled that ball back from over the fence, Pack, it just felt like there was a chance that Virginia was going to be able to find a way. You know, you didn't know it'd be as dramatic as the Grand Slam, but I still agree with you on Torres' home run.
Yeah, Torres' home run has been the snapshot so far of the entire College World Series run here. Man, I'm just telling you, everybody around the country that follows baseball is still talking about NC State and how they eliminated Arkansas. That's the story.
There you go. Right. Mm.
The Teal GS from Wes, real inside baseball lingo. I feel like Bill James is co-hosting today. We talked earlier, in fact, to open the show, we talked about the 28 team sport championships from the ACC since 2015. Now, of the team sports not to win a national title since 2015, and don't worry, we will show you a list. The next one from the ACC, which will take home a natty, is blank.
Men's soccer. Or soccer.
Men's soccer, huh?
Yep, that's where I'm going. Men's soccer.
I'm going to go men's swimming and diving or golf.
This isn't either or. This is fill in the blank.
All right, then I'll go swimming and diving.
There you go.
Is there a reason for that? I mean, I can explain why soccer is. I mean, the league was dominant.
Dominated the
College Cup. They just didn't close the deal.
I could also say soccer, but you chose soccer, so I'm going with another sport. Swimming and diving, golf. Swimming and diving, NC State's been great on the men's side. Virginia's been great on the men's side. We've got national contenders in those sports, just like we do in golf. You said soccer. I would agree with that, too. But to offer another angle, I would say swimming and diving, perhaps men's golf. I still think the match play thing's a little bit like the super regional, though. You got to be lucky and you got to play good. And that's a big part of the whole concept.
All right. Next one.
All right, guys. Last one here. Stan Cotton coming up in moments. So let's get a Wake Forest question in there. Jaquari Roberson will finish blank in the ACC in receiving yards in 2021.
Wow.
He was third in that category with a hair under 1,000 last year.
I'll say second. I think Zay Flowers is going to lead the league in receiving, Packer. At least I do June 16th. I think Zay Flowers today will lead the league in receiving, but Jaquari Roberson will be second.
I think Roberson can give you another top three. I think there's some underliers here. I mean, is Justin Ross coming back? If he is, I'm just telling you, I think he's the best wide receiver in the league when healthy. We didn't even see him last year. I think old Rambo down there at Miami is a guy that can make some noise because Derek King's going to be
Charleston
dynamic.
Rambo. Yeah,
I just said I'm going to give you two names that we did not see in this league last year, but Roberson's a big time player, and you know, again, Sam Hartman's back. Yep. Wake's got a lot of pieces back, 19 starters. We'll get in that with Stan here momentarily. But he is a player now. Mm-hmm. He can play for anybody in the country. JR can. Sure could, man. Yep. He's a player.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Earlier today, we discussed Georgia Tech football. Now we're going to Switzerland. Talk about the Wake Forest Demon Deeks. Got everybody and their brother coming back, Wes. This is a team that, again, I think will fly underneath the radar with Dave Clawson. But, man, I think they could be dangerous. Who would better to break it down than our man Stan Cotton, the voice of the Demon Deeks? There he is. Stan, first of all, good seeing you again. And, boy, the countdown's on, isn't it? I mean, next month we all gather in Charlotte, talk a little football. So we decided to get a head start on it.
I'm excited. Yeah, it is early mid June. That means it's football season, right? I mean, even though we haven't played the World Series yet, so I'm excited. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, just kind of getting last year out of the way feels good, right? I mean, you guys were talking to Tom earlier, and you know, talking about seeing each other live in Charlotte. So anyway, yeah, it's good to kind of get back to whatever normal used to be. I kind of forget it's been so long, but looking forward to the fall for sure.
All right, there's got to be a fairly high level of confidence for what Roaring Ruggiero and Dave Clawson have offensively, right? I mean, Sam Hartman, Christian Beal-Smith, Ja'Cory Roberson we just talked about, decent offensive line stand. I mean, you get the sense that whatever they had to accomplish in the spring, yeah, if you want a competitive depth, we talked with Dave Dorn about that yesterday. Deeks have got a lot of players here, a lot of guys have played a lot of football in some cases.
Oh, for sure. I mean, both sides of the ball, not just on offense. I mean, it's kind of scary when you're looking. I've got my Wes, you know, as a play-by-play guy, I've got my cheat sheet here, and I was just looking at it from the bowl game, and I mean, all these guys are back, almost all of them. I mean, you can't hardly find a name that's not coming back on both sides of the ball outside of Boogie Basham. But yeah, I think it's going to be hard for a young guy to break into this lineup, and for somebody who's pretty young to do that, that means he's a pretty good football player. And Dave Clawson's built a lot of quality depth over the last two or three years, and he continues to do that. That's really how they're building this program. But they've got a lot of guys coming back, and I think that's why there's, you know, some guarded optimism around Winston-Salem these days. So we'll see how it shakes out. I mean, obviously a good league, tough division. But, I'm not sure why, if you're a Wake Forest fan, you wouldn't be pretty excited for 2021.
Stan, five consecutive bowl appearances. That's almost unheard of when you start thinking about the job that Dave's done, what he inherited. Again, no disrespect, Jim Grobe took it to a championship and all that great stuff. But, man, the guy's done such a great job. Do you think Wake Forest fans understand and appreciate how difficult this is? Because he's made that almost look easy, and I know it's not.
Yeah, no, it's not. I think, Mark, I think they do realize the job that Dave Clawson has done. I think Wake fans, they know who they are. They understand what the deal is, and it's a different place to recruit ACC quality type guys that can also do the work at Wake Forest. It's just a different deal, and I'm not sure that anybody has done it better than Dave Clawson. He gets it. He fits at Wake. He's pretty much kept his staff intact over the years, and that's a big plus for him. I think Wake fans understand what's going on and how good a job that Dave Clawson has done. You know, fifth straight bowl game this past fall, that's never been done at Wake. They're trying to, you know, keep that going and make it six in a row. So, and I think they get a great shot of doing that simply because of the depth that we've talked about. But I do think Wake fans understand the job that Dave has done. I think they really appreciate him. I know they do. I just can't imagine a better person at the right time to be at Wake than Dave Clawson right now.
All right, Stan, we talk about the value of experience. Now we get to a part where with some schools, you know, you hedge your bet a little bit. With Wake, I know you're in the Atlantic, and everybody knows Clemson's at King, if you will, but the Deacs have a fairly friendly schedule to start. I mean, Old Dominion on a Friday night, then Norfolk State at home, then Florida State at home before you go to Virginia on a Friday night. I mean, there's an opportunity, and FPI's got you favored to win 8 of the first 10 before you close with Clemson and Boston College on the road.
Well, I mean, you when you have a chance to put some hay in the barn, you got to do it. You know, you got to win the games you're supposed to win and sneak up on some people if you can. And, you know, Wake did a really good job last year early and kind of hung on toward the end. But I'm excited for this team to see how it comes together, to see how, you know, this offensive line that's been around for a long time continues to gel. Only a few spots to plug in, as we've talked about. And, you know, Sam Hartman's got a lot of snaps under his belt at quarterback. I think he's poised for a good year. They're deep at running back. They're deep at wide receiver. They got a lot of guys on defense that have played a lot of football. They're solid in the kicking game. So I just think Wake's going to have a chance to be a really good football team by the end of 2021. But early, when you have a chance, you've got to get it done. And I think they will. I think they'll do well early. I think Dave will have them ready to go. One of the things they talked about in the offseason was just because of how crazy last year was, needing to get some strength back. Warren Ruggiero talked about that several weeks back. Mm-hmm. Just getting back to playing condition. You know, they hadn't missed so many games last year. So, be interested to see how Wake does that, and all the teams do that, quite honestly. But it just, all you put all those things in the hopper, and it comes out where I think if you're a Wake fan, you can be optimistic for 2021. We'll see. You got to play them, right? You got to play them and execute on. I was going to say Saturday, you know, Friday, Saturday, Thursday, whenever it is these days. But you got to get it done on the field, and we'll see.
Stan, the story of Nick Anderson really is kind of the perfect snapshot, isn't it, of what Dave Clawson does? I mean, this is not a highly recruited guy, obviously, but you know what? The dude can play, and he's developed, and man, what a season he had last year.
Yeah, get him in, coach him up, and then let him go. Let him age like a fine wine. Wes could talk about the fine wines, but Nick Anderson is a perfect kind of a poster boy, if you will, of Wake's program. And Dave Clawson pretty much said it from day one. This is a developmental program. We'll take the one stars, the two stars, the three stars, and then coach them up. And by year four, year five, hopefully they're playing up and playing well. And that's what Wake Forest has done. And, you know, a guy like Nick Anderson comes in with no scholarship, and the kind of year he had last year, three interceptions in one game, and ends up making third team, I think, all ACC. And now folks are talking about him on shows like this. So we'll see if he can continue to play well. I think he will. But there are players like that all around this roster that, you know, we might not be, pardon me, thinking of right now that we're going to be talking about by the time fall comes around and several weeks into the fall. So that's just the kind of program Wake Forest is. And I think Dave Clawson has taken that challenge on, and he's done a terrific job.
All right. You mentioned defensively, Boogie Basham really is the only, I mean, I don't want to sell some of these other guys short here, but Basham was the headliner that's now no longer there. Smenda got hurt last year. He was off to a great start. They're guys who are there that have played a lot of football, but they're not going to be as familiar to ACC fans beyond the walls of Winston-Salem. We mentioned Nick Anderson. Are there one or two guys over there that you think, okay, got a chance to have a big year for them?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I think yes, but I'm not sure I'm ready to throw out a bunch of names right now. You know, that's just kind of because you look at the roster, and there are several guys who maybe could do that. Some young corners like Kalen Carson, Gavin Holmes, yeah. Those guys are good football players. And I think you know, they're coming along. A guy like Miles Fox, year seven for him. Can you believe that? He's been around a long time. So I think, you know, he could be one of those guys. I think they like the way that Chase Jones has developed defensively as a linebacker. And so those names throw in a whole lot more. I just think it could be anybody, really, on not just the defensive side. Again, both sides of the ball. I mean, Wake's really deep at receiver, and they've developed some young running backs. So I'm just guarded with the optimism about the fall. Injuries always play a big part in all these things, but so far so good for Wake, and I'm really excited. Even though it's June, I'm really excited.
I think everybody's ready to kind of get back in the flow of a football season in the fall, and just the anticipation. I'll say one more thing regarding the schedule, and again, this is all purely a guesstimate in June till we get more information. But that game with Florida State, week 3, just feels like a tone setter for both. Because, again, the Noles are going to open up with Notre Dame, and then they're going to come to Winston-Salem. And for the Deacs, again, I expect Wake to go WW. And then all of a sudden, that first conference game sitting right there September 18 just kind of feels like a tone setter for both. And that just, again, who knows what this thing will do and what it will look like when we get to September. But that one sitting here in the middle of June just feels like a big deal.
Yeah, and especially, Mark, if you go into that game 2-0. You know, if you get those first two like you're supposed to, but you got to go get it done, as we've talked about. And then you get a Florida State team that's got that marquee name, and you find a way to get the Noles. And then you go on the road against Virginia and you're undefeated. Yeah, I think that I think you're right. The Florida State game, depending on how those first 2 weeks go, really could be kind of a jumping off point for Wake if they're going to have a special type of year. Yep. Got to win that first one, right? I mean, these days you just never know, man. You got to go get it done. Coach Prosser used to say, Skip Prosser used to say, man. You know, and he loved football. Skip was a huge football fan, but he said, "Man, I don't know if I could coach that game." He said, "That ball's not round, and it bounces crazy." You know, so he stuck with the basketball, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I tell you what, if Dave Clawson's watching that last question and your answer, he just turned off the television and says, "I don't want to hear about week 3. We're worried about week 1. Yeah. Every coach in America don't want to hear about week 3, week 7, week 10. We're worried about week number 1. No question.
If Dave's watching, right. I'll get a text here in a minute.
Hey. All right. Tee it high. Let it fly. It's mid-June. You got to get it out of your system at some point this summer. Okay? And by the way, Packer will be incredibly disappointed you didn't show up with the Bojangles biscuit this morning.
Well, that's too easy. That's just a couple miles up the road. I've been on the DL, the golf DL, for the most part of 2 years, Wes. I got to get healthy, man. I got bad shoulders. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, here we go. Bad shoulders, Mac.
Totally get it.
I know.
All right. Bad.
Get it.
Yeah. But don't go get in the water snorkeling in the Turks and Caicos.
No, don't do that.
I hear
that. That's stay away from that.
That won't be a problem.
That's a bad move is what that is. BM.
That won't be a problem.
Bad move.
Talk to you. Thanks, my man. Be well.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Y'all, I'm not kidding. The other night, Nisa, you blew me away with your stand-up comedian act, right? I mean, like, it got me thinking. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go find some jokes for Nisa. And so I went on the internet, and I found some. And so I shared them with my staff, and we voted on which one was the best. So we're going to do a Nisa joke of the day, right? So we're going to just find these jokes. So you ready? So you got to read them, all right? You ready? Here you go. Read it out loud. Read it.
Out loud. Read it. What does a walk-on receive when they follow all of the pillars? He's a great teammate, does whatever is needed for the good of the team, and hits a three-pointer when she gets in the game.
What's the answer?
Read it.
A full time.
Wow. Wow. How about that? Anissa Clark, by the way. Yep. Three games she appeared in a year ago. Walk on to Nell Fortner's program, who graduated high school at Union Grove and McDonough, just south of Atlanta, with a perfect 4.0, perfect GPA, and enrolled at Georgia Tech as a walk on, and now has been awarded a scholarship. I love those moments. I think that's the, you know, in some ways, that's the best part of what the college athletic model is, Pack, is seeing those moments.
Yeah, listen, when you win the championship, that's the icing on the cake. The object for anybody, whether you're a student or a student athlete, is as soon as you step foot on campus is to get your degree. And between the time you get there and the time you leave, if you happen to have awesome experiences athletically, that's fantastic. But you better get that degree. That's the deal. And that's what it's all about.
Quick here, folks, if you're paying attention on the social media, my man Packer's handing out Omaha tips to Stephen Schock last night.
Yeah.
And the big fella responded on the on social media. You were telling Stephen Schock to go see Zesto's Ice Cream, huh?
I congratulated him and his team. I said, listen, you might have to trade the Dippin' Dots for Zesto's Ice Cream, which is a legendary institution out there at Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
So wished him safe travels and good luck. He responded, which was nice of him.
Yeah.
And he said, I may have to give that a try. And funny thing is, thank you very much. I'll have to look into it and see how it stacks up. And ironically, Dippin' Dots then responded. The folks at Dippin' Dots called in and like, hey, wait a minute now. Yeah. Dippin' Dots got involved. So that was a lot of fun.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.